Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? I want to welcome everybody to another edition of Questions and Answers. Today's show, we're going to be talking about NFL training camp, man. It starts next week. Been waiting a long time for it. So NFL training camp's going to be here, and we're going to get this new NFL season going. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait. Expecting a lot of excitement. Expecting a lot of good competition happening this year. It's going to be a challenge for whatever team makes it to the Super Bowl and get that ring. It's going to be a big challenge for them because there's going to be a lot of good teams out here. Just with the offseason moves, all of NFL free agent pickups and the NFL draft, expecting a lot of good things. So what I want to do today is give my personal breakdown of all the teams in each division, starting with the NFC. And then I'm eventually go over to the AFC, which probably will be Thursday. It's probably not going to happen all today. So what I want to know is which team will win the division and who you think will win. And as always, call in, let your voice be heard. The number to call in is 1-347-843-4939. If you want to call in and talk about who your favorite team is, how far you think they'll make it, what do you think about the free agent pickups they may have or the rookies they may have drafted? Call in. Let's talk about it. Or if you want to throw something else on the table for discussion, you're welcome to do that. But first, like I said, I always begin my show with a question of the day, a history question of the day. And on today, July 20th, Hank Aaron hit his final home run back in 1976. I wasn't even born yet. July 20th, 1976, Hank Aaron hit his 755th home run, his very last one. And that was the very last home run he got. And it would eventually get broken by Barry Bonds in 2007. Barry Bonds hit 756 to break the all-time home run record. I mean, we all know that Barry was juicing. Him, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, you know, the late 90s, they gave us a show in Major League Baseball. All three of them. Well, it really started with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. I mean, they would take turns. Baseball was fun. I mean, they were juicing, but baseball was fun then, really. I mean, you expected those guys to hit home runs out of the park every game, and for the most part, they did. And it was good because they were like, it's almost like they were challenging each other. Sammy had hit one, then Aguirre hit one later on that day, or vice versa. And they were just going back and forth, trying to see who could break Babe Ruth's record during that season. And, you know, I believe Barry Bonds got jealous. And that's the one thing you can't say about Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, he may have juiced it towards the end of his career, but Barry Bonds was always a Hall of Famer. Because when he was with the Pittsburgh Pirates, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer. Barry Bonds did it all in the outfield. And he was good at the plate with the bat. So Barry Bonds has always been a Hall of Famer, and he should get in. I mean, I understand he juiced, but that was towards the end of his career. And like I say, I believe he got jealous of McGwire, all the attention Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa was getting. I believe he got jealous of all that attention. And so that's when he started juicing. Then he started getting all the attention because he's the last one left trying to break these records. And he did it. But that's just my history of the day. Like I said, July 20th, 1976. Hank Aaron, Hammer and Hank Aaron, hit his very last home run, which is 755, and it eventually got broken by Barry Bonds in 2007. All right, something I want to talk about before I get off into the NFC conference and its divisions and what I think about these divisions and who's going to win and so on and so on. I got to talk about this guy out of Iowa City named Jerry Foxhaven. I mean, come on, man. Jerry Foxhaven got fired from his job as a human resources. He worked for the Department of Human Resources in the city of Iowa, so he had a government job. And he basically lost his job because he's a lover of Tupac. I don't understand why he would lose his job for having an infatuation with Tupac. But let me tell you about the man and what he did. I mean, all he did basically, he sent out emails to all 4,300 agency employees, giving them like words of inspiration that Tupac might have spoken. He routinely sent lyrics to the other workers as inspiration. On Fridays, he had what he called Tupac Fridays, where he would invite, you know, employees into his office and they'd just chill and listen to Tupac on Fridays. I mean, I don't see the big deal of that. Why would you fire him because he has an appreciation for the man in the culture? I guarantee you, if that was Elvis, not a word would be spoken. Government wouldn't have fired the man from his job for, you know, for basically loving Tupac. I mean, if it didn't have anything to do with his job, if it didn't affect his performance on his job, he shouldn't have been fired. For his 65th birthday, he invited everybody to his office. Instead of cake, he had cookies, and the cookies all had Thug Life on them. Now, you tell me this man didn't love Tupac. And, hey, I get a kick out of stuff like that. 66-year-old white man bumping Tupac, liking Tupac, showing appreciation for the culture and for what Tupac stood for. I mean, he wasn't just a, you know, he really wasn't a thug. I mean, if you look at it, Tupac didn't really get bad until he got locked, you know, once he got locked up in prison, and then once he got out, Suge Knight was his way out. And I really wish, I mean, it's easy for me to say, because I've never been locked up. I'm not locked up. I've never been locked up. It's easy for me to say, but I wish Tupac wouldn't have signed with Death Row and would have just did his time, because he didn't need Death Row. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but Suge Knight and Death Row approached him back in 94, trying to get him to join Death Row. And Tupac wouldn't have it. He didn't need him. Why? That wasn't his style. Tupac did a lot of mellow music, man. I mean, he really didn't get thuggish and gangster until he got to Death Row. And I believe, you know, a lot of that was a front. I mean, not saying Tupac was a punk. I highly doubt he was a punk. He wasn't a punk at all. But that just wasn't his style, man. That wasn't his type of music. You go listen to Me Against the World, which is personally my favorite Tupac album of all time, because every track on there is tight. Listen to Me Against the World, man. He's not talking all that thuggish, ruggish, gang bang, stupid stuff he's talking about when he got to Death Row. I kind of believe he wanted that Death Row persona is what led him to act the way he act. But then the one thing I never liked about Tupac is he kind of talked too much. I wish he wouldn't, you know, would have slowed down a little bit. But, you know, he was so filled with rage, man, for being locked up over something he didn't do. Because I don't care if nobody say he didn't rape that girl, man. Come on, Tupac. Why would Tupac have to rape somebody? So I never believed that. So I just wanted to bring that up about this man out of Iowa City who had a love for Tupac Shakur. And like I said, Iowa government job, and he was fired basically because he liked Tupac. And once again, like I said, hey, I get a kick out of it. White man, old white man, showing love for Pac. Hey, I can ride with that. I remember a few years back here in Indianapolis, I'm riding down the street, older white guy in a pickup truck pull up next to me, man, bumping all eyes on me. I just looked at him, I smiled, and I gave him the thumbs up, and he nodded at me. I'm like, man, that's crazy. You don't see stuff like that. To me, that, you know, for an older person to be bumping him like that, that tells me it's more than just the music that he liked. He actually liked what the man stood for. And it's crazy because, you know, sometimes you think about that, like, man, if Tupac was still around, man, what would he be doing? The dude was a genius. Well, I know for sure he would have his own music company. He would have been there, done that. He probably would have been a mogul. Like we see Jay-Z's, you know, Jay-Z's a mogul, and Tupac probably would have been Jay-Z years before Jay-Z did it. And you want to be real, once Pac and Big died, that's when Jay-Z, like, really blew up on the scene. But I will give Master P some credit. Right after Biggie died, late 90s, man, like them last 3 or 4 years of the 90s, 97 to about 2001, No Limit had it sold up. Master P and No Limit had it sold up. So I give props to Master P. And then, like I said, lastly, I want to give some props to Jerry Foxhaven out of Iowa City, man, for representing, you know, and showing love to the culture and showing love to Tupac Shakur. And he didn't deserve to get fired from his job for that. Especially if it's not affecting his work performance. If it's not affecting his work performance, man, you can't fire him over that. But they did. I guess he, you know, he's providing too much black culture in that human resources facility, I guess. But guys, if you want to call in and talk about any of this stuff, you want to talk about NFL training camp that's going to begin next week. You want to talk about your team. How far do you think your team's going to make it? If your team's in the AFC or the NFC, which team is it? How do you feel about them? You think they have the capability of making it to the big game, winning it all? Call in. Let your voice be heard. 1-347-843-4939. All right. So, okay, the first team I want to talk about, I'm going to start with the NFC. And the NFC, first team I want to talk about is the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz missed most of last season because of injury. So you had Nick Foles taking over. And, you know, Nick Foles, steady Nick Foles. You know, I know about Nick Foles. He beat my team in the Super Bowl. You know, I'm still going to blame Bill Belichick for that garbage, though. Because if Malcolm Butler plays in that Super Bowl, Patriots win the game. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. Malcolm Butler played in that game against the Eagles. Patriots win. That Super Bowl literally came down to one stop. And luckily, the Eagles got it. When my man stripped Brady, Brady didn't see it coming. And he stripped him. And once he stripped him, that was the game. Because everybody and their mama know the Patriots were going down to score, and they was going to win. They were going to win that game. They were going down to score. Because that offense wasn't stopped the whole night. Like they didn't stop the Eagles' offense, the Eagles' defense didn't stop their offense, and the defense. The Eagles came in with the supposedly number one defense in the league. They came into the Super Bowl riding that defense. That defense that shut Minnesota out the week before, well, the couple weeks before in the NFC Championship game. That Eagles team shut them out. But when they came in that Super Bowl, nah, man. I mean, Brady broke records. Brady threw for over 500 yards in that Super Bowl. So that's what I'm saying. It literally came down to one defensive stop. And the Eagles, unfortunately, you know, for Patriot fans like myself, the Eagles got it. So Nick Foles has a lot of luck on his side, but I'm curious to see how Nick Foles is going to do this year now that he has his own team. He's gone to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I'm wondering how that's going to turn out. Carson Wentz, like I said, Carson Wentz, he played like part of the season and he was able to throw for, Carson Wentz tough. He threw for 3,074 yards, 21 TDs, 7 interceptions, and, you know, 5 or 6 games he played. So Carson Wentz was on his way to having a good year. So hopefully he won't miss beat. So I see the Eagles being strong, you know, because they're going to have that young, strong quarterback coming back with something to prove. And then he got, for his weapons, I mean, he had that tight end, man, that real good tight end out of Oregon, man. I can't think of his doggone name. He's pretty good, though. And he still got Jeffries there. Alshon Jeffery, he still has him. So he has some weapons. And then, they're just, I expect them to do good things, man. So the Eagles, man, check them out. Also, in that division, you got the Redskins. Now, I'm going to be real with you. I don't know much about the Redskins. I just know Alex Smith broke his leg last year at the beginning of the season. It was horrible. And they got old trusty Colt McCoy to step in. And he did the best he could do. Before Alex Smith went out with that broken leg, he had 2,180 yards, 10 TDs, and 5 interceptions. I'm going to be honest with you. And maybe if it's a Redskin fan out there, they call and educate me because I honestly don't know much about them besides Alex Smith. Their defense, never that great. Their offense, they got a bunch of no-name guys that I really don't even know. Now they got that one running back, Perrine, that played at Oklahoma. He was pretty good. So I don't know much about the Redskins. But I'm expecting them to be cellar dwellers anyway. I don't expect them to really make dent in the NFC East. I definitely don't think they'll be good enough to challenge the Eagles or Redskins. I mean, the Eagles or the Cowboys. It may be them and the Giants, you know, at the bottom. Fighting for that crown as cellar dweller. All right, then we got the Cowboys, the overrated Cowboys, who, and it's crazy how Stephen A. Smith always predicts stuff on them, and it seemed to come true when it be negative. But Dak Prescott, he had a decent season. He had 3,885 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. That's not bad. He's really not a great passing quarterback. But the addition of Amari Cooper towards the end of the season did help them at the trade deadline. They was able to get Amari Cooper from the Raiders. So he has his number one receiver. And you saw a rejuvenated Amari Cooper when he got to the Dallas Cowboys because it seemed like he was just wasting away in Oakland. Because his year before that was horrible. And it's crazy because I had Amari Cooper his rookie year, and I had him for fantasy, and he gave me a lot of good numbers, man. He balled out. Then it's like his second year, man, he just, you know, if it's a sophomore slump or what, but he just was missing. He was missing in action. And then part of last season, he was missing in action. And so the Cowboys made that move, and they traded for him. And like I said, Amari Cooper, man, he showed up big time once he got to Dallas, helped him get in the playoffs and everything. So Dak does have his number one receiver. He has his number one running back in Ezekiel Elliott, who's the thoroughbred, the workhorse. So really, a lot of pressure hasn't been put on Dak because he always has Ezekiel Elliott to fall back on. But I'm curious to see because they're going to have to pay, man. They're going to have to pay Dak, Amari Cooper, and Ezekiel. How are they going to swing that? And Jerry Jones trying to be cheap. His son, Stephen Jones, telling the media, you know, it should basically be an honor to be a Cowboy, and they should take a cut. They shouldn't ask for the full amount of money they want so they can keep everybody together or whatever. I agree with that with some teams. Everybody can't be the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady, you know, you want to be real about it. Tom Brady should be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. But he don't do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Tom Brady, he get his money. But at the same time, he's not breaking the Patriots bank, even though the Patriots are cheap as hell anyway. You know, and that's my squad. But, dude, I call it like I see it. They cheap as hell. But the way Belichick does it, man, I mean, it's been working for like damn near 20 years. And I hate it. I mean, because Patriots done lost some great players, man, because they were too cheap to pay them. The Ty Laws, the Richard Seymours, the Lawyer Malloys, the Mike Vrabels, you know, all those classic Patriot guys. They were lost because Belichick didn't want to pay them. And like I said, somehow, some way, it still worked out, man. These dudes done got 6 Super Bowls since Belichick been there. So I guess you really can't complain too much if you're a Patriot fan. I mean, I'm not complaining too much. But, yeah, the Cowboys, what are they going to do? Who's going to get left out? They going to pay their quarterback? I don't know. The way running backs are in the NFL now, they have the least importance. So they might lowball Ezekiel Elliott. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Amari Cooper and Dak going to get their money. Because that's the way the NFL is now. It's all about passing. It's a passing game now. Whereas when I grew up, it was more of a running game. Running back was important when I was young. Now it's all about the passer and the pass catcher. So I expect Ezekiel Elliott to get froze out and get lowballed. And how's that going to work with the team chemistry, Cowboy fans? I don't know. Hey, any Cowboy fans out there? Eagles, Redskins, Giants, who I'm about to talk about next, and I can't stand talking about them. And you guys should know why I can't stand talking about the Giants. But I'm going to talk about them next. But if there's any of you guys out there, Giants, Redskins, Eagles, NFC teams, anybody got a favorite NFC team? Call in. Let's discuss it. How do you think they're going to do this year? What do you think about their draft picks that they picked up? What do you think about what they did in free agency? How far do you think they'll go? You think they'll make a playoff run? These are a lot of questions that I would like to answer. Or, you know, like I said, this show doesn't just have to be about the topics I present. If you got a topic you want to throw out there, if you want to talk NBA, you can throw that on the table and we can discuss it. You just got to call in and let your voice be heard. 1-347-843-4939. I'm going to take a break. And then when I come back, we're going to talk about the damn New York Giants.
It's summer early in the morning, Pop saying he needs me, but I'm being lazy, I say that I'm sleepy, can I please skip today, they taking it easy, while I'm grinding every day, they won't notice, believe me, he told me no, see, that's what they want you to think, you gotta see that you are a reflection of me, Can't you see it now? Coach Beasley, how cold? Get to skip, but we can't miss it. Has to even out. You can't treat us different. So that's just how he treated me. But now I see the difference. Made me who I spring to be. Well, all the ones I tried to bring with me to lead, just pissed the fact I leave the team at home regretting what they need to be. I'm thankful I got fam who made me this. I'm glad they actually gave a shit. That's why I never fail, cause they would never fail me. Then I thank them with some land, a brand new place.
There's never one way to ever do one thing. And I know at times it frustrates to try and figure what changed. Cause people see how some break, so they try to hem ya late. Everybody is so afraid of what's different, but nobody is the same. So come just how you play.
Be nobody but myself. Try to fit in what they tell you, but it's something else. I'm trying to set the standard, not just go with what is going well. Working for another isn't what you show and tell. So I ain't never wanna be nobody but myself. Try to fit in what they tell you, but it's something else.
All right, that was Cole Beasley, a former Dallas Cowboy wide receiver who I didn't even know rapped. I kind of made me a playlist where I have nothing but athlete rappers. So I was tripping out when I saw him. And he's not bad. He doesn't play for the Cowboys anymore. He was the Cowboys slot receiver last year. He's going to be doing that for the Buffalo Bills this year. So I'll be seeing him a lot more, being that I'm a Patriots fan. Patriots played him twice, so Pats will be seeing Cole Beasley, see how good he could be. For the Bills, they didn't have a slot receiver, so he should be able to come in and produce if he could play like he did when he's with the Cowboys. He wasn't bad with the Cowboys. I was kind of surprised they didn't keep him, but they ended up picking up Randall Cobb, who used to play for Green Bay. He's on the tail end of his career, so I don't know how good he'll be in the Dallas Cowboys system. But, I mean, if he could play anything the way he used to play in Green Bay, then that'll definitely help him and Dak and Amari Cooper, you know, be able to do some things in the passing game. All right, man, let me talk about these damn New York Giants, the last team in the NFC East. I see them as cellar dwellers with the Redskins. And honestly, I can't stand the Giants, so I hope they cellar dwellers. Don't get me wrong. I like Saquon Barkley. He's a beast. He's a beast at Penn State. He won Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year last year in the NFL. Came in as a beast from day one with the New York Giants. Expect good things from him. Hopefully he don't get injured or anything like that, you know, have a serious catastrophic injury or anything like that, and just ball out, continue to ball out. You know, with this being the twilight of doofus Eli Manning's career, I think he needs to start handing the ball off more. They need to go more to a running offense. He needs to ride Saquon Barkley instead of passing it as much as he do. You know, you have some games, man, Eli Manning throw the ball about 40 or 50 times. I don't think he's going to be able to do that this time. Odell Beckham Jr. is gone. I mean, they still got the one kid, I don't remember his name. They still got that one wide receiver, Sterling something. Yeah, see, I don't even know. That tells you, I don't like the Giants, man, because they're lucky. They are lucky. And Eli Manning is the biggest, luckiest doofus I've ever seen. It's crazy. You watch this man play in the regular season, man, you wondering what the hell he doing. I mean, he have games, man, where he throwing the ball backwards behind the line of scrimmage. Then he get in the playoffs, man. It's like the magic, just the fairy dust. You know, we call it the Book of Eli. The fairy dust just hit him, and they just win. And he can't miss. It's just the Patriots, man. He got my team's number, man. So I just, you know, I'm never going to get over 07. Ever. And that's why I can't talk about the Giants. Because that was some lucky crap. I mean, you catch the damn ball on your helmet, man, you destined to win. I'm never going to get over that. And I'm never going to give them credit for that win. I give the Giants credit for what they did in 11 against my boys down here in Indy, in his brother's house. I give him credit for that one. That was just a hell of a throw and catch by Mario Manningham along that sideline. I can't take nothing. And if Wes Welker could catch that ball, that game's over. And you know what's crazy? That was Aaron Hernandez's last game. One of his last games. Aaron Hernandez on that field, that Super Bowl. And that dude dead. So, yeah, the Giants, man. I see them as cellar dwellers. I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, maybe if Eli start off real bad, they go to Dwayne Haskins, the rookie out of Ohio State quarterback. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Dwayne Haskins going to the Redskins. They got the quarterback out of Duke. Yeah, that's who they got. I'm sorry, that's my mistake. Dwayne Haskins might be the starter. If it's not Colt McCoy, Dwayne Haskins might be the starter for the Redskins. I mean, why not get him in there? Because Alex Smith not going to be back probably this season either. I mean, his leg was broke, man. It's going to take him a while to come back from that. But, yeah, Daniel Jones, that's his name. The quarterback that the Giants drafted. If Eli starts bad, Daniel Jones might get that job. He might get that job. So I don't know. I think Eli's just getting older, and you know, the bright spot is Saquon Barkley. And they tight end, Evan. They got a good young tight end too. He's pretty good. So got a couple of young pieces that'll help him out. And the Giants, their defense not as strong as it used to be. You know, their defense used to be a staple, but it's not as strong as it used to be. So for the NFC East, I got the Eagles winning that division. I think the Cowboys are challenging for that crown, you know, which means the Eagles are going to get, you know, one of the automatic spots in the playoffs. NFC Central, you got the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. It's crazy because everybody felt like Aaron Rodgers had a down year last year. But you tell me why this is a down year with these type of numbers. Aaron Rodgers threw for 4,442 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. He threw the least amount of interceptions in the whole football league. But everybody's saying he had a down year. And Aaron Rodgers was playing hurt, too. I don't understand how they said he had a – I mean, 25-2, man, those not down numbers. I mean, maybe he just didn't look right. I mean, I know the game I went to in Foxborough when I saw the Packers play the Patriots up in Foxborough. I mean, he was off a little bit, but I don't understand how people feel like he having a down year. And this stupid Madden rating, they don't even have Aaron Rodgers in the top 5 for quarterbacks, which is retarded. I don't understand that one. Aaron Rodgers is a top 2 quarterback in the league. If not one. And I expect them to have a bounce back season. Their defense is better. Young Jair Alexander is going to be a year better. The young running backs they got are good. Their receivers are good, and I can't pronounce their names because a lot of their receivers got double names, but they got good receivers. I think they still got Jimmy Graham, who basically got to prove himself again. To me, Jimmy Graham hasn't been the same since he left Drew Brees and the Saints. I don't know. I view Jimmy Graham as soft. Ever since that game where they came up to Foxborough and Aqib Talib basically punked him out, laid some wood on him, and Jimmy Graham wasn't the same that game, and it just seemed like Jimmy Graham is not a physical type of guy. I mean, he's really a big receiver. He shouldn't even be classified as a tight end. He doesn't block. So you would think that combination of Jimmy Graham and Aaron Rodgers would be good. So I think Jimmy Graham, he needs to show out this season to help the Packers, because they're going to have a challenge in that division. That's going to be a good division, interesting to watch, because you got the Bears, man. Mitch Trubisky, not bad. 3,223 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. That's not bad. For his second year, he's going into year three. And I truly believe if Mitch Trubisky can play good and, like, up his game another level, Bears going to be right there with the Packers. And we get to see them open the night due to that 100-year anniversary, which is kind of a jip because the Super Bowl champion is supposed to play opening night on Thursday, meaning the Patriots should be playing the Steelers on Thursday night football. But it's a 100-year anniversary for the NFL, and you want to have two classic rivals play each other. So I understand why they have the Bears and Packers playing that Thursday night opener, and they moved the Patriots and Steelers to Sunday night football. I understand that. So, yeah, those two teams, those two classic rivals, going to be opening up with each other, opening night. That's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm interested to see who's going to win. That could get the ground running, you know, to see who's going to win the NFC Central. Because the Vikings are right there, too. Kirk Cousins will have another year in the system. He threw for 4,298 yards last year, 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And he got those two beasts of receivers he got, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. He still got those guys. I don't expect any of those two guys to take a drop off. So, yeah. NFC Central is going to be a fun division to watch, too. And I just want to see who's going to step to the table and take that division. Is it going to be the Packers? Is it going to be the Bears? Is it going to be the Vikings? I'm not even going to count the Lions. I mean, we know Matt Stafford. We know what Matt Stafford could do, but the team never does anything. Matt Stafford has a good year. He got that Galladay kid who stepped up big for him last year. I mean, Matt Stafford, what? Last season, he 3,778 yards, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. So it was kind of a pedestrian year for Matt Stafford. He usually always in the 30s, close to the 40s, as, you know, as far as touchdown passing. So he kind of had an off year. So, yeah, I definitely expect the Lions to be at the bottom of the NFC Central, where it's going to be a three-team race. Once again, if Trubisky can step his game up even more, improve more than what he did his second year, then it's definitely going to be a three-team race. Other than that, I see the Packers and Vikings challenging for that division title. I definitely think one of these is going to be, you know, two of those teams in that NFC Central going to be in the playoffs, one to win the division and one to get the wild card. Now, which two, I don't know. But I'm going to ride with the Packers and say the Packers are going to win the division. And it'll be the Bears or the Vikings that get the wild card. Or both of them could get it. I mean, it just depends on how the other divisions go. But I do see the Packers winning that division. Guys, you want to call in and talk about this stuff, because NFL training is going to be here next week, baby. NFL training camp opens up. How's your team going to do this year? Who is your team? Who do you root for? Call in. Tell me. Let's talk about it. What team do you root for? How far you think they're going to make it? What type of players they got? Who did they draft? Who did they pick up a free agency? This is stuff that I want to know. So let your voice be heard. Call in 1-347-843-4939. All right, next division. Okay, you got the NFC West. And this dude, man, I feel bad for this dude. because he always balling out. And it just seemed like he doesn't have any help. Russell Wilson, who finished last year with 3,448 yards passing, 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And if you want to be real, Russell Wilson probably had like 40 touchdowns because he rushed for a few of them. I mean, it sucked that he lost his main receiver, Baldwin. Baldwin retired. So he still got Richardson. And he has a couple of young running backs that can help him out. Their defense is okay. It's not, you know, Legion of Boom type defense, but it's okay. But I think he still needs more help. But he had a hell of a year. I mean, 35 touchdowns and 7 picks, man. That's a great year. But it's like he did it all. The offense was all him. So I'm curious to see what Russ can do this year. You know, being a year better, he got a new contract. I'm curious to see what their offense is going to look like this year. All right, then. A guy of my rooting interest, Jimmy Garoppolo. He'll be coming back this year for the 49ers. Last year, he got hurt. He played like the first 3 games, and he got hurt. Torn ACL. It happened against the Vikings. He's playing a pretty good game against the Vikings, man. Then he got hurt. And his replacement, Nick Mullins, passed for 2,277 yards, 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. The bright spot of that team was tight end George Kittle. Man, I had no idea who George Kittle was. Now, I kept seeing him in fantasy, just killing it. Had a good year. So you best believe he's going to be my number one tight end I'm going for in fantasy. Yeah, he was balling, man. Big guy, can catch the ball, good speed. It's a good tight end. So that's a good weapon that Jimmy going to have when he come back. And I'm hoping he can come back right because, honestly, I wanted Jimmy to stay in New England. I didn't care. Belichick wanted to start over fresh with Jimmy Garoppolo. But they kind of ran him out of there because Kraft basically gave him the ultimatum, you know. Bill, you got to get rid of Jimmy because Brady said he wanted to stay. And, yeah, as a Patriot fan, I was ready for Brady to go. I was ready to start fresh with Jimmy. So I'm a big Jimmy Garoppolo fan, and hopefully he can stay healthy this year. And I want to see them do good. I mean, Richard Sherman, he's there to help out that young defense. And, you know, Jarrett McKinnon, hopefully he'll be back. Former Viking running back, good third down back, good back that can catch out of the backfield. And they had that other running back that's pretty good. I can't think of his name, but they had talent. So it's all on Jimmy, man, to see what he can do with it. So I can see the 49ers, you know, making some noise. I don't know how good they'll be, but I think they're good enough to make some noise. All right, the defending NFC champions. Defending NFC West champions. I'm about to say St. Louis. The Los Angeles Rams. Jared Goff had a MVP-type season last year. 4,688 passing yards. 32 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. He had a good year. They got lucky because they shouldn't have beat the Saints. They should not have beat the Saints because that was clearly pass interference. They got lucky and made it to the Super Bowl. That should have been the Saints. That should have been the old man Super Bowl. That should have been Drew Brees against Tom Brady. But the one thing I hope that Shane McVay, the Rams coach, learned, because, you know, you go and watch those films of the Super Bowl, he was too enamored with Belichick. It's like a love fest. He was too enamored with his opponent. like you had to go in with that cutthroat mentality. You had to go in like the Eagles coach went in. The Eagles coach was aggressive with the Patriots. And that, honestly, that's the reason why these teams, you know, the Atlantas, the Seahawks, the Rams, why they choked and didn't beat the Patriots. We all know Atlanta definitely should have beat the Patriots. 28-3, you don't blow that. I believe they got complacent. They didn't put their foot on the Patriots' throat. The Eagles did that, man. There's nothing I can say about the Eagles. Doug Peterson, yeah, they coached Doug Peterson. He kept his foot on the throat. He told Nick Foles to chuck it, chuck it, chuck it, keep chucking it, and he did, man. He just kept throwing the ball and kept getting completions. I mean, you know how many big third and fourth down completions Nick Foles made in that Super Bowl? Is ridiculous. And that's because Doug Peterson was aggressive. I mean, they ran a quarterback pass, man, a double pass. And got a touchdown from Nick Foles out of it. So, I mean, you got to be aggressive. And I think that's what hurt the Rams in the Super Bowl. McVay was too enamored with Belichick. You hear him before the game, you know, praising Belichick, like following around him like a little kid, like a little puppy. He wasn't aggressive. And I believe that's one of the reasons why they lost the Super Bowl. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm happy the Patriots won because that's the team I root for. But I believe that's one of the main reasons why McVay and the Rams didn't win. And then Todd Gurley, he just wasn't right. And I like Todd Gurley. Made me some money. Him and Jared Goff made me money 2 years ago. Because of them, I won my fantasy league. And I went with the same two combination this past year. I didn't win my fantasy league this year. But yeah, Todd Gurley, you know, start like not getting touchdowns. I mean, one damn game he ran up to the goal line and just stopped. Like, what you doing, man? So Todd Gurley, he really wasn't on it this year. He didn't seem right. But he's a great running back, and I expect him to have a bounce back season. And we all know that defense, man. Donald, led the league in sacks. He had like 23 sacks. Aaron Donald's a monster. I mean, so I expect the Rams to be right there in the mix again, too. They basically got the same squad. Robert Brooks on offense at the other receiver spot. Brandon Cooks as a receiver. And then my man, the one guy, Cooper Kupp, going to be back. They missed him. They missed him bad. Who knows? Maybe if Cooper Kupp was playing, they might have beat my boys in the Super Bowl. Cooper Kupp, he got hurt early in the part of the year and missed the whole season. So loss of Cooper Kupp, that really hurt too. So I see the Rams being back strong. They'll be back and they'll be in the mix. All right, so the last team in that NFC West is the Phoenix Cardinals. I don't know, man. I don't know about the Cardinals. They drafted Kyler Murray. You know, small in stature, but he got a good arm. He used to sling it in Oklahoma. And I guess the advantage about him going there is that he knows Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach, because Cliff Kingsbury recruited him when he's at Texas Tech and brought him in. So they know each other, so that's a good thing. I mean, the only weapons that I know that he has for sure is David Johnson at the running back. He's an all-pro running back. He's also coming off injury. And, you know, we have to see how good he could be. Can he be the David Johnson of old? And then he has old reliable Larry Fitzgerald at the wide receiver spot in the slot. We know Fitz still good enough to make plays, but I don't think he's good enough to be like your number one. So it's good that Kyler Murray have at least two options he can lean on. You know, push come to shove, hand that ball back to David Johnson, or hit Mr. Reliable, Fitz, more than likely he'll make the catch. Now, their defense, I mean, they still got Chandler Jones, who was their sack artist. They picked up Terrell Suggs. You know how much Suggs got left in the tank? He should have a little bit. I think they still got Patrick Peterson, even though he was wanting to leave. He asked for a trade, but haven't heard any more noise out of him or anything else about that. So, like Patrick Peterson may be there to stay. So, they have, you know, at least three guys on defense that can make plays, is capable of making plays. But I don't see Kyler coming in and taking the league by storm. I don't know. So, I could definitely see them and the 49ers, you know, at the bottom of the division. I could see Seattle fighting for a wild card. I could see the Rams winning the division. And then we go to the NFC South. All right. Guys, if you want to call in, talk about any of these teams in the NFC. Are one of these teams your favorite? What do you think about it? How far do you think they'll go? You think they got enough to take it all the way to the big game? Do you like the free agent moves they may have made? Do you like the draft picks they may have picked? Do you think they're good enough to win their division? Call in, let your voice be heard. 1-347-843-4939. And also, as I always say, it doesn't just have to be about what I discuss. If you got something you want to bring to the table, you can put it out here and we can discuss it. You want to talk about a certain TV show? I just finished watching The Stranger Things. I really didn't like it that much. I mean, as compared to the other seasons. You want to talk about a movie? I just saw Lion King. Great movie. We could talk movies. We could talk sports. We could talk music. Well, old school music. I can't really fade this new music now, man. You know, the Lil Yachty's and the 21 Savages and the ASAP Rockies and all these other garbage mumble rappers. I don't know anything about them. So if you used to call and talk about that, you'd be educating me. So, yeah. Give me a call. You want to talk about any of these topics or a topic you want to bring out. 1-347-843-4939.
Are you dropped 2 tracks? Hey, somebody done gassed him up. Let me go ahead and burp this little nigga. Look, I've been a cold-blooded assassin. Swear I don't just put the ball in the basket. I'm from the zone, nigga, who you been asking? I said your name a couple weeks ago, you been in the casket. And now you tryna rise up, I see you faking the passion. I'm finna turn this game down to the chump change. I'm that main or that man or that mean. Whatever you want, nigga, I'm that clean. You dropped 2 songs, whatever that mean. You shoulda did one, them niggas was gassing. And I ain't rocking with them folks that thought it was over. I'm finna sign with State Farm, I'll put you out of your stroller. I run the game like PlayStation, going and pass the control. I'm on the track with high energy, you lacking the motor, little nigga. Clown. Nah, never that. Put some respect on my shit. Now I might ruffle up some feathers, but I'm just telling the truth. Without that Wayne verse, you just another nigga in the booth. Said it's just rap, but when I'm done, don't try to call the truth. Try and run it up and double up this money to the roof. Money man, I know you rich. 100 mil, that big bank and little bank stuff don't work. I understand what you was doing. You been on my nuts since talking. I'm a fan, that don't make sense. I think you need to find a better plan. I used to do your little 4-bar challenge every Friday, but you ain't drop no hits, so man, I had to do it my way. My name is Dame Dollar and I'm hard. I claim that I'm better than MB3, but no, I'm not. That's clown flow. I come and snatch your bag of downs, don't make a sound, bro. You try to bring my pops into it, let's get down, no. You really try to put me all on the spot. Man, you been quiet for some time, I think I'm making you hot. Adidas did sit some games, but I thought they was whack. As soon as I opened the box, I sent them shits right back. I had to hop over the Puma, now my pockets is fat. Man, I was working, and y'all know I was gonna get right back. I'm done.
All right, that was Marvin Bagley dissing my boy Damian Dame Dollar Lillard. Like I said, I got a playlist that has nothing but athlete rappers. And I didn't even know that Marvin Bagley can spit. I didn't know anything about it until I was watching First Take one day and Max Kellerman said something about rapping. And he said about how Damian Lillard's like the best in the game right now as far as athletes, which is true. And he basically put it out there and Marvin, you know, said, you know, would he challenge him or whatever. Marvin Bagley was like, whatever. And that led to a couple of diss tracks by Dame dissing him and a couple of diss tracks by Bagley dissing him. Now, I've heard anything else, so I'm assuming that the little rap battle is over, but man, I like Damian Lillard, man. I like him as a player. I like him as a rapper. And I want to say it's like 1-1 because that song I just played by Marvin Bagley, I like it, man. I think he got Dame on that one. But then Dame got him back with another one called Marvin. So that's how I say it's even. And Damian Lillard just came out with something else. I got to listen to it and see how good it is. But let me get back to these NFC rankings. NFC teams. NFC South. Okay, the king of that division last year was New Orleans Saints. Old man Drew Brees, boiler up. You know, my Purdue brother. Balled out as usual. Michael Thomas is a monster, one of the best young wide receivers in the league. Fantasy people love him because he puts up numbers. And you got Alvin Kamara, do it all back, can run the ball, can catch it out the backfield, can make plays. He's going to be getting the carries exclusively now because the kid out of Alabama that ran with him is gone now. I can't believe I'm not remembering these names. I usually know these names by heart. It's going to come back to me. But, yeah, they had a two-back thing going last year. Now it's just strictly Kamara. He's going to have the boatload of the carries. I think the Saints drafted a running back, too. But it's going to be Alvin Kamara opening up day one in the backfield. And then, like I said, Michael Thomas, they still have Ted Ginn Jr., who does what he does, you know. And their defense, they be flying around, they make plays. I expect the Saints to be challenging for the division crown again. But the thing is about the NFC South, it's like it varies year to year. You never have like a back-to-back winner. So I'm saying the Saints may win the division, but they might not. It could be the Panthers. Maybe Cam Newton will be back to normal because Cam Newton hasn't been right. Cam Newton hasn't been right. He hasn't been right the last couple of years. Honestly, Cam Newton to me hasn't been right since he was scared in the Super Bowl to go for that fumble. Ball was right there, man. He didn't even die for it. He let Von Miller get it. He just like looked at it. And they still had a chance to go down to win the game. But he didn't go for the ball. He didn't fight for it. It's like Cam Newton lost all his fight on that one play. And to me, it's like he hasn't been the same since that play in the Super Bowl. He's never recovered from that. And then he's been hurt a lot here lately. So maybe Cam, you know, maybe he might be normal this year. I'm going to be going to see him because they play the Colts. They play here in Indianapolis against the Colts. And I'm going to take my daughter to that game, you know, being that she's a damn Colt fan. I'm going to take her to that game. And I'm going to, you know, get to see Cam Newton play in person for the first time. And I'm hoping he play a good game so, you know, it won't be a blowout or anything. We go to an exciting game and it not be a blowout or anything like that. You know, so with Cam Newton, I mean, he has Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's a monster. He's good too. Can run the ball. He can catch out the backfield. And they lost Funches to the Colts. Funches is here now playing with the Colts. So a wide receiver, they picked up Chris Hogan, who played for the Patriots. They got him. And they got Chris Samuels, the kid that used to play at Ohio State. I'm expecting him to go to that number one slot now that Funches is gone. He's a speedster type of receiver. Now the loss is going to be Greg Olsen. Well, I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure if Greg Olsen retired or not. I know they were saying that he was thinking about retiring, but if he retired, that's going to hurt Cam Newton because he was kind of like his safety blanket. Greg Olsen was one of the most dependable tight ends in football. He was definitely that safety blanket for Cam Newton. So if he retired, that's going to hurt Cam. And I don't know who they have as their backup tight end. And like I said, you just never know who can win this division. It's like it rotates year to year. It seems like it's never a repeat winner. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Saints didn't win the division again this year. That Panther defense is still good. They have a couple good players. They got my hometown kid, Kawan Short, playing on that defensive line from East Chicago, Indiana. Hometown kid. Doing good in the NFL. Played at Purdue. Good defensive tackle. You know, busses that line open to allow the pass rushers and, you know, and people to get in there and get at the quarterback. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know if the Panthers can finish first. They can finish last. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some surprise teams out here. We just don't know who they're going to be yet. There's always at least one or two surprise teams that you don't expect. You expect them to be crap, and they end up making the playoffs or getting far in the playoffs. So I wouldn't be shocked if any of these teams in the NFC South win this division. It's almost like it's hard to predict because, like I said, it's rarely – I can't even remember the last time a team won back-to-back NFC South titles. You got the Falcons. I mean, Matt Ryan. It's like, who is Matt Ryan, a top quarterback, or is he an average quarterback? I mean, you just never know. It's like he week to week. Some days, you know, Matt Ryan looked like he's an all-pro. Then some days he's just a normal average quarterback who's not that great. He still has Julio Jones. I mean, Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. You got that tandem in the running back, you know, tandem running backs. Both of them are good. I mean, you got the one kid out of Alabama that played good his rookie year. He's going into his second year. Oh, my God. What's his name? It's crazy because I had him in fantasy. And every time I didn't start him in fantasy, man, he would play good. But then when I did start him, he didn't give me nothing. Give me like two or three catches. And Matt Ryan went to him, too. So I expect him to go to him again this year, you know, because Julio's going to be receiving a lot of attention like he normally does. Now, the thing is, I don't know how great their defense is going to be. And once again, who knows? Who knows who's going to win this division? I don't know. You never know. It varies. You got the last team in the division, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I know it has been a long time since the Bucs won a division title. And Jameis Winston, he's been a disappointment. I was on the Jameis Winston train when he won that national championship at Florida State. Came into the league. I was on the train, man. I was like, yeah, Jameis is going to be good. But Jameis Winston still do stupid stuff off the field to get himself in trouble. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I think the Bucs, you know, they may have to start looking at another quarterback because Jameis is going to be coming up here to be signed. I think this is last year's rookie deal. So they're going to have to decide, make a decision whether they want to sign him or not, or a trade. I would probably trade him at the trade deadline. If it's not going good this season at the beginning of the year, I would trade Jameis at the trade deadline, get some for him. It may be some teams out there that'll take him. But he's like he's a head case. He don't know. It's like he don't know right from wrong, like he a little kid. I mean, remember he's in college, man, going to the grocery store, walk out with some crabs or lobster, shrimp, whatever he walked out with. Just walked out with it. He harassing, sexually harassing the Uber driver, man. I mean, just dumb stuff. Like, Jameis don't get it, man. You're supposed to be a leader of men. You're supposed to lead this, lead your NFL team. You're trying to win a championship. And you jeopardizing all that stuff because you're going to end up being locked up or being suspended by the NFL for doing all this dumb stuff. And, man, he got Mike Evans, one of the best young wide receivers. He has a threat. He has a passing threat. You got Mike Evans. And he lost DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson went back to Philly. I forgot to mention that. That's another weapon that can help Carson Wentz again. Having DeSean Jackson back as your deep threat. So Jameis Winston, like I said, he got Evans. I don't really know who they got at running back. I know they had Pocket Hamster, but he's gone. He's with the Raiders. I have no idea who their running back is. Their defense is young, so they got some growing to do. I'm going to go on a limb and say that the Bucs won't win the division. It'll either be the Panthers, the Saints, or the Falcons. Unless the Bucs just come out of left field and shock everybody. Jameis Winston play MVP-type season and throw for like 40 touchdowns to a no-name person that we haven't heard of yet. It's the only way I can see the Bucs like truly doing something. So that was basically how I feel about the NFC. And the divisions and the division winners. For the East, I got the Eagles. For the Central, I got the Packers. For the West, I got the Rams. And for the South, like I said, it's hard to pick, man, but I'm going to say the Falcons are going to win it again. I'm going to say the Falcons. And the Saints will be fighting, you know, fighting tooth and nail with them to get it. So either the Falcons going to finish one, the Saints two, or they're going to flip-flop. The Saints finish one, Falcons two. Panthers will be three. Bucks will be covering up the rear. So that's what I see happening for the NFC. Thursday show, we'll break down the AFC. Talk about all the teams in the East. Talk about all the teams in the Central. Talk about all the teams in the West and talk about all the teams in the AFC South. I'm going to tell you now, I think the AFC South is going to be the most difficult and the best division to watch. And that's how I feel. In the NFC, I think the NFC Central is going to be the most competitive and fun division to watch. AFC is going to be the AFC South. So, guys, I want to thank you for listening in today. I do this show Thursdays and Saturdays, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. Questions and answers hosted by T. Wash. And I'll be talking to you guys on Thursday.